You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 19th of October 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about the beheading of the schoolteacher in France that happened on Friday. Beheading is a traditional method of assassination within fundamentalist Islam. We see that this has gone on for centuries now, this beheading of the unbelievers. In actual fact, there is a presentation that we are beginning today on Real Britannia about a brave British man who was held up as a hero to the British people. And he was beheaded by fundamentalist Muslims 150 years ago at the siege of Khartoum. So this is not something that we are unaware of. This is not something that has never happened before. It is something that is happening more and more often in the West, in Europe. And it happened centuries ago in Europe when we had parts of Europe that were occupied by Muslims. Now we have large populations of Muslims within our countries. The majority of them don't cause any problems. But there is this minority among them that are fundamentalist, that do hold to these beliefs of Islam, that the unbeliever should be punished, especially if they blaspheme. And they are not frightened of our laws. When you have people that are quite happy to commit suicide at the same time as carrying out their action, then we have no deterrent. We have no way to prevent them from doing these things. So the general idea now seems to be that if we can just teach these people our values of freedom of expression and liberty and all these enlightenment values, that these people will love these values and they'll want to be a part of them. But that is not what is happening. A lot of the time, these jihadis are second generation. They've been brought up with our education system. Their parents came to our country and they dressed like us and they tried to be like us. But the children who are actually educated here grow up and want to dress in Pakistan or Afghanistan Pashtun clothing, those long shirts that they wear. Their women dress from head to toe in burqas. They wish to see themselves as set apart from us. And they see our values as degenerate and immoral and blasphemous. And they see it as their duty to punish us when we go against the laws of their Quranic teaching. It's not all of them. But it is a minority of them, and we would not have this problem to deal with if we had not imported these people into our countries. It's only in the last 70 years that we've actually had a sizable Muslim population in Britain. Up until 1948, Britain was 98-99% white, and we didn't have things like this going on here. Now, in France, they actually have the largest Muslim population in Europe. So it's no surprise to know that that is the country that has the most Islamic terrorism. And they still don't seem to be doing anything about it. President Macron has said that his way of dealing with it is going to be to teach Arabic in the schools. Because if they teach Arabic in the public schools there, then Arabic doesn't need to be taught in the madrasas. That is just going to imply to these Muslims that they are succeeding. They are succeeding in taking over France, and their language is now being taught as an official language in the schools. It's like a reward to them for what they have been doing. It's not going to prevent this small minority among them from behaving like this. Well, let's have a look at what's been going on here. French President Emmanuel Macron has confirmed that a street beheading near Paris was an Islamist terrorist attack perpetrated against an educator teaching his students about the freedom of expression. Freedom of expression is a very important thing. Freedom of speech. Most people believe that we have freedom of speech. They seem to think that things such as criticizing Jews, criticizing ethnic minorities, that exists outside of freedom of speech. But that is what it means to be free to speak, because you have to be free to say things that people might be offended by. You have to be free to criticize everyone. Nobody should be held up as these people you cannot criticize. So we really shouldn't have these laws that clamp down on our freedom of speech. They claim they have freedom of speech in France because they allow depictions of Muhammad, but they don't allow people to question what went on in World War II. They have people in prison for questioning what went on in World War II. I'm pleased to say that in Britain, we don't have laws like that. We don't have laws restricting research into what went on 70 years ago, but they do in France. So you have this hypocrisy there. And what the Muslims want is they want to introduce blasphemy laws. They want it to be against the law to depict Muhammad. They want it to be against the law to criticize Islam. And this is where this idea of Islamophobia comes from. This fear of Muslims, irrational fear of Muslims. It's not irrational when we see a minority of Muslims carrying out suicide bomb attacks and assassinations like this and beheadings. It's not an irrational fear to be critical of the religion that inspires this. And as I say, it's not all of them that behave like this, but it is a minority, and they do cite the Quran and they do cite Islam as being the influence on them that caused them to behave in this way. It's to us today, we think blasphemy laws are ridiculous. They mean that you couldn't criticize the Virgin Mary or make jokes about Jesus. But we do have the equivalent of blasphemy laws. We cannot criticize Jews. Unless you put things in the correct terminology, you can't criticize the crime rate of blacks. You can't criticize immigration unless you put it in the correct terminology. So all of these are ways of sneaking in blasphemy laws, but they're not actually called blasphemy laws. And the current one that they're really pushing for is this is Islamophobia. Now, apparently some of the organizations in France that campaign against Islamophobia were actually the ones that were calling for this teacher to be punished for what he did, which was basically to show his class some of the Charlie Hebdo drawings, which were unflattering representations of Muhammad. And because these organizations, these anti-Islamophobia organizations, were promoting the idea that this teacher should be punished, it does look like they may well be investigated. And when the BBC were reporting that today, the reporter just was really fuddling up his words. He couldn't actually get across what he was saying, because that I think is what is going on. They're going to be investigating these anti-Islamophobia organizations, which is a good thing, of course. The unnamed victim, reported to be a teacher of history and geography, is said to have been targeted because he showed images of the Islamic prophet. Muslims were said to have been asked in advance to leave if they might be offended during a moral and civil education class centered on freedom of speech and expression. So the teacher has respected the Muslims in his class. He has said, if you don't want to see this, you are welcome to leave. Apparently, one of them didn't leave, and she then told her parents what she saw. And the parents then started this campaign to have the teacher punished, which led to this Chechen refugee deciding that he was going to behead the teacher. The Chechen refugee was only 18 as well. He was very young. Well, this is what Macron said. He said, one of our countrymen was assassinated because he was teaching, his students about the freedom of expression, the freedom to believe or not believe. And he was saying this at a press conference near the scene of the attack in Conflans-Sainte-Honorine or Yvelines. Now, Macron may believe in the freedom to believe or not believe. That is part of Western culture, and that comes from Christianity, where you have the freedom to believe or not believe. And the whole point of Christianity is you make a decision to be a Christian. You yourself, you are not forced into it. If you are forced into it, then the conversion is null and void. It's not like that with Islam. Islam seeks to force everybody to go along with Sharia law, whether they believe in it or not. So long as they profess that it is true, then they will be considered a Muslim. And there are so many writings about this from 100 years ago, 150 years ago. This presentation that we're doing in Real Britannia, this comes up in that Christianity is, it's a voluntary submission to Christianity. But with Islam, it just seeks to force everybody to obey Sharia law, whether they do it out of wanting to be a Muslim or whether they do it out of fear of being beheaded. If they don't, it doesn't matter to them. Macron continues, our compatriot was cowardly attacked and was the victim of an Islamist terrorist attack. It is not a coincidence if tonight a teacher was struck, because the terrorist wanted to attack the values of the public, its light, or its enlightenment, the possibility to make our children, no matter where they come from, no matter what they believe or not believe, no matter what their religion is, to make them free citizens. This battle is our battle, and it is an existential one, he warned. Well, it is an existential battle, but not in the way that he thinks that it is. He is saying that this terrorist wanted to attack the values of the public and the Enlightenment. No, the terrorist wanted to attack the teacher. Macron has also said that France is not going to allow this attack to divide us. And all these politicians always say this, as if the goal of the terrorist was to divide the people. The goal of the terrorist was to stop diversity. No, it's if the people were divided, the terrorist would not have been able to have carried out his attack. It is only because we have diversity and multiculturalism that these terrorists are able to carry out their attacks. They love diversity. They think it's wonderful that we have multiculturalism, because if we were divided and we had the Muslims over there and the Christians over here, the Muslims could only then attack other Muslims. They would not be able to attack Christians. So this idea that terrorists are seeking to divide us is an absolute nonsense. It's incredible that that is always the thing that these politicians say, when the obvious goal of the terrorist is to kill the victim, not divide people. Unconfirmed reports suggest that the terrorist was an 18-year-old Chechen migrant, and that a Twitter user posting under the name Chechen270 had shared an image of the teacher's severed head shortly after the attack, with the message, in the name of Allah the Most Merciful, to Macron, leader of the infidels, I executed one of your hellhounds who dared to belittle Muhammad. Calm his fellow human beings before a harsh punishment is inflicted on you. So they're threatening to kill more people for daring to draw a picture of Muhammad. Now, I don't think it's not very good to mock religion. I don't think it's right to mock Christianity. I don't think it's right to mock Islam or mock Muhammad. But if people want to do that, that is their right. If they want to do that and people find that funny, then you just have to accept that they might think that is funny and you don't. They have a different sense of humour. This idea that people should be killed for that is absolutely, absolutely barbaric. But the same thing goes the other way. If you think, well, people shouldn't be allowed to criticise blacks, that is offensive. Well, you may think that is offensive, but there are other people that when they criticize what is going on with diversity, they mean it from their heart, and they mean it from the information that they have. You have to think, well, maybe they have more information than you have if they're doing this, rather than looking down on people in the way that the left does and tries to describe us all as knuckle-dragging idiots for having the beliefs that we do. The reason why we have our beliefs is because we know more information about them than the left do, which is why they try to censor us. The Islamic terrorist who beheaded a teacher for showing a class cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad had links to ISIS, it has been claimed. Why does that matter? And the point is, he's a Muslim, he's a fundamentalist Muslim. He did this because he had a fundamentalist interpretation of Islam. The fact that he is connected to the Islamic State is neither here nor there. The Islamic State are just following Sharia law. They're in actual fact, they're following the same laws that Saudi Arabia does, that is our ally. That's another thing that he tried to cover up. And it's exactly the same laws and system that certain Islamics have wanted to put in place ever since the 6th century. And it has been in place lots of times. Most recently, it's been ISIS that have been doing it. But Saudi Arabia, they will behead people for certain crimes and they stick to Sharia law. The country is based around Sharia law, and yet they are allies of ours. So the fact that they're saying he has links to ISIS, that's just to sensationalise this, I think. After the grisly attack in a North Paris suburb on Friday afternoon, 18-year-old Russian-born Abdullah Anzorov sent photos of history teacher Samuel Paty's severed head to Chechen ISIS telegram channels, where it was then shared widely, the Sunday Times reported. Meanwhile, the prosecutor leading the investigation, Jean-Francois Ricard, revealed that Anzorov's half-sister had travelled to join ISIS in Syria in 2014, the same year the group declared its caliphate. So what is this family doing in France when they are showing that they have links to ISIS and the Islamic State? They weren't under surveillance, apparently. He added that the suspect, who had been granted a 10-year residency as a refugee in March and was not known to intelligence services, had been armed with a knife, an airsoft gun, which fires plastic pellets. It was obviously more than a knife because he was able to behead this teacher. It was probably a machete. And once again, we see that these people that are actually claiming to be refugees, they might well be refugees, but they are not going to respect their host. They're not going to respect their Christian host who has allowed them to come into the country. You may say, well, France isn't Christian, it is secular, but it is still seen as Christian. It's not Muslim. So regardless of how much the French actually do to help these people, there will always be a minority among them that see them as the infidel. And they just see it as, well, I'm just going to take what you offer to me. I don't have to offer you any courtesy back because you're not a Muslim. And that is the mentality of these people. The killer shared the video online after the attack, showing the teacher's severed head and Anzorov's confession, where he denounced President Emmanuel Macron as the leader of the infidels. So not the benefactor of the Chechen people, the benefactor of this refugee who allowed this refugee in and clothed him, housed him and fed him, but he sees him as the leader of the infidels. It emerged yesterday that Anzorov asked pupils at the French school to point out the teacher who had shared a Charlie Hebdo cartoon of the Prophet nude before targeting him. I feel very sorry for the pupils that did actually point the teacher out. I mean, they must be in a terrible state today, but how could they know that this guy was wanting to kill him? They've been told that Muslims are our friends and they're just the same as us. It probably didn't occur to them that this Muslim could be looking for this teacher because he wanted to kill them. And now these poor school children will be feeling very guilty about this. The perpetrator was fatally shot by police officers a short distance from the scene of the killing, not long afterwards, after acting in a threatening manner. Another 6 other people are in custody as of Saturday morning, all according to judicial sources from the Chechen community. And apparently the family that started all these complaints and started up this online campaign to get the teacher punished or removed from his office, they've been arrested as well, but there's no suggestion that they are connected to this Chechen terrorist at all. The caricatures of the Islamic Prophet shown in the slain teacher's class are said to have come from the satirical Charlie Hebdo magazine, which was targeted by Islamist gunmen in 2015. So this is a common occurrence here of extremist Muslims trying to kill people that draw pictures of Muhammad. There was even a draw a picture of Muhammad competition a few years back that was targeted by them. The drawings that were done in Denmark as well of Muhammad, there's a fatwa out on the artists for that as well. This is such a common occurrence that this happens. And surely this shows us that extremist Islamic values are not compatible with Western values. This shows us that a literal interpretation of Islam is not compatible with Western values. And yet that was one of the headings in the recent Tony Blair investigation into radicalized young people. If a young white person was to say that they don't think that Islam is compatible with Western civilization, they were classed as an extremist. And yet here we see that a certain part of Islam is not compatible with Western civilization, because when people try to express their freedom of speech, their freedom of expression, they run the risk of being beheaded by this part of Islam. 12 people, including a police protection officer and a building maintenance worker, were slain in the former massacre, which has been back in the public eye in recent weeks, as a number of people believed to be connected to the crime stand trial. Yesterday's terror attack came as Emmanuel Macron works on a bill to address Islamic radicals, who authorities claim are creating a parallel society outside French values. Well, who could have expected them to do that? Who would have thought that Muslims would come into a non-Muslim country and then try to build a parallel society? That is just what happens with multiculturalism. These people retain their own culture, they retain their own loyalties to their own ethnicity, to their own religion. They seek to build their own mosques. I mean, we have encouraged this by allowing mosques to be built within our countries. We have encouraged Muslims to build a parallel society here, which is outside of our own values. This isn't just happening in France. We've had these terrorist attacks in Britain as well. Mr. Macron added, "It was no coincidence that the terrorist killed a teacher because he wanted to kill the Republic and its values, the Enlightenment, the possibility to make our children, wherever they come from, whatever they believe in, whether they believe or not, whatever their religion, to turn them into free citizens." I mean, this is so arrogant of Macron to just assume that Muslim children want to be turned into free citizens. They may not want that. That is not their heritage, is it? Their heritage is not Enlightenment values. Their heritage is Islam, the complete opposite of our Enlightenment values. I mean, it's so arrogant of him to think that he can just turn these children into replicas of French citizens when they have no history of their own being like that at all. Their history is of Islamic civilization. It's not of Western civilization. They want to be like their ancestors. They want to be like their parents. They want to be like the people in the countries that they are from. And they want to replicate those countries in ours. They have no desire to be like the West. They see the West as degenerate. They see the West as infidel. He thinks that for some reason, they're just waiting to become good French citizens. They're not. They want to be good Muslims. He says this battle is ours and it is existential. This battle is existential in the way that it is the white race's existence that is at stake here, with the amount of immigration that is going on, the numbers of non-whites that are now in our countries that have replaced us, displaced us. That is an existential threat. But what he is talking about here is Enlightenment values being and them being threatened here by fundamentalist Islam. He says they will not pass. Obscurantism and the violence that goes with it will not win. They will not divide us. That's what they seek, and we must stand together. No, that isn't what they seek. As I pointed out earlier, it is the fact that we are not divided that gives them the ability to carry out the terrorist attacks. If we were divided, the Muslims were over there and the Christians were over here, the Muslims would not be able to carry out terrorist attacks on the Christians, would they? So by carrying out these attacks, they are not saying they want to divide us. They are saying it is only because we are not divided that we can get away with doing this. Prime Minister Jean Castex wrote on Twitter today, Through one of its defenders, it is the Republic which has been struck in the heart by Islamist terrorism. In solidarity with its teachers, the state will react with the greatest firmness so that the Republic and its citizens live free. We will never give up. Never. Well, how many times does this have to happen before they try responding in a different way? Because they give it the same response every single time, and it just keeps on happening. Addressing the country's teachers, pupils and their parents, Education Minister Jean-Michel Blanquer said Patti was killed by what he called the enemies of freedom. The Republic will never, never, never back down when confronted by terror and intimidation, he said in a recorded statement. Laurent Brosse, mayor of Conflans-Sainte-Honorine, said, "We will pick ourselves up together thanks to our spirit of solidarity." In an outpouring of grief, the hashtag Je suis Samuel trended on social media like the Je suis Charlie call for solidarity after the attack on Charlie Hebdo in 2015. France's parliament suspended Friday's debate after news of the decapitation, with session president Hugh Renson visibly moved and calling the attack abominable. MPs stood as Renson said that, "In the name of all of us, I want to honour the memory of Mr. Patti." Education Minister Jean-Michel Blanquer tweeted, "The Republic is under attack." Lawmakers and teachers' unions hailed the slain teachers' courage for confronting challenging taboos in French society. Freedom of expression was a core tenet of democracy, they said. Well, if this teacher had only been teaching ethnically French children that weren't Muslims, he would still be alive, wouldn't he? The Republic has not protected this teacher because they have allowed people into the country that they knew had a certain portion among them that were going to behave like this. And they could have prevented that. This teacher would still be alive if France had not allowed all this Islamic immigration into the country. Jean-Rémy Girard, president of the National Union of School Teachers, told BFM TV that children needed to understand that blasphemy can shock, but it is legal. Muslims are not going to care if it's illegal or illegal. If you have a group of people that has a certain portion among them that are quite happy to commit suicide when they carry out their retaliation attacks, the threat of punishment is not going to deter them. It's just not going to. The only way you can deal with that is to remove all of them. If you had a bag of sweets and you had 100 sweets there and two or three or five of those sweets contained cyanide, they were poisonous, would you keep those sweets on the shelf and say, "Oh yes, but most of them aren't going to kill me"? Or would you throw the whole bag of sweets away? The way to deal with this is to encourage these people to move back to their own countries. You can't just say, "Well, it's only a few of them that are likely to do this," because you have to look at them as a whole. And when you look at them as a whole, you can say, "Well, there is the chance of this happening when we have these people here." And if they really cared about the French people, that is what they would do. Tariq Oubrou, the imam of a Bordeaux mosque, said of the killing, "It is not a civilization that kills an innocent person. It is barbarity." Interesting that he's not actually going to condemn the killer that actually did this. He just says that it is barbarous and it is not a civilization that kills an innocent person. A police source said the scene has been cordoned off and a bomb disposal unit dispatched because of the suspected presence of an explosive vest. "The attacker is believed to be from a Chechen background," said an investigating source referring to the Russian Federation Republic. "Thousands of battle-hardened Chechen refugees, including many devout Muslims, entered France in the early 2000s following two bloody wars against Russia. Around 30,000 Chechens in total escaped to France, many of them resettling in the suburbs of major cities such as Paris. And France has seen occasional violence involving its Chechen community in recent months in the Dijon region, the Mediterranean city of Nice, and the western town of Saint-Dizier, believed to all be linked to local criminal activity." And we did a Daily Nationalist some months back on Chechen gangs, Chechen criminal gangs that were shooting up their local area in a feud over drugs, and it looked like a Middle East war zone, basically. And now we've got them carrying out terrorist attacks. France has the largest Muslim population in Western Europe, with up to 5 million members. Just last month, a Pakistani migrant badly injured two people unconnected to Charlie Hebdo with a meat cleaver outside Charlie Hebdo's former offices, as retribution for its decision to republish the offending caricatures to mark the beginning of the trial. So this is now three separate incidents that we have had because of these Charlie Hebdo drawings. And all of these attacks come from the same community. They all come from the Muslim community, a certain part of it. It is claimed that the migrant's father told reporters in his native country that he was proud of the attack and asked the government to assist him. "I am asking the Pakistani government to bring my son home. He served Islam and we are a Muslim country," he is alleged to have said. So the attacker's father is obviously in Pakistan and he's being held up as a hero there. And Pakistan is one of the countries where the majority of the immigration comes from into Britain. And this is the ideology that they bring with them. We're told this is extremist Islam. Well, is Pakistan extremist Islam? Pakistan is a major country that receives a lot of aid from us. Quite clearly, they approve of this sort of thing. So it can't be that tiny that tiny amount of a minority that approves of this, can it? It has to be quite a sizable part of people that have subscribed to the Islamic faith that approve of this sort of thing. And I'm not saying we can blame them for this. They have another religion. They have different standards to us. They are a different people entirely. They are non-whites. They are a different race. They have developed different standards, different guidelines to living to us. And by their standards, people that carry out these attacks or blasphemy are heroes. So we can't blame them for doing things like this. The people that are at blame are our own governments. It's the government of France that imported these people into France, knowing what they were like. It's the same in Britain. It's the British government that imported these people into our country, knowing exactly what they were like. We've had centuries of history with these people, knowing what they are likely to do, and yet our governments still brought them in. This podcast should not be thought of as inciting hatred against these Muslims or non-whites, because it's not. And as I say, that they are just doing what their culture and their traditions teach them to do. The people that are to blame for this are our own people, for bringing them into our country in the first place. And we need to face up to that. That is what needs working on. That's what needs changing, is changing the people that are in government, changing our representatives, changing their minds, or changing the people themselves. For people that do want to put our people first. And until we can get to do that, we have to support our own representatives who do put our own people first, like Mark Culler and Laura Taylor from Patriotic Alternative. And we can work on building our own communities and respecting our own traditions and teaching about our traditions and our heritage, and show people that we are not haters. We just love our own people, and we are sickened by attacks like this. And we see the reason for these attacks being the fact that our governments imported these people in the first place. And that's what needs changing. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.